Let me read the entire psalm to you, but then I will do as I have in the past weeks. I shan't give you a full-blown exposition, but I shall speak briefly and devotionally, and I'll tell you why in the will of God when I get through reading this psalm. I'm reading from the 1901 version. It says that it's a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear unto me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou to me a strong rock, a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pluck me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my stronghold. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, thou God of truth. I hate them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy loving kindness, for thou hast seen my affliction. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large place. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Mine eye wasteth away with grief, yea, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are wasted away. Because of all mine adversaries I am become a reproach, yea, unto my neighbors exceedingly, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the defaming of many, terror on every side. While they looked, they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me in thy loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in hell. Let the lying lips be dumb, which speak against the righteous insolently, with pride and contempt. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that take refuge in thee, before the sons of men. In the covert of thy presence wilt thou hide them from the plottings of men. Thou wilt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous loving kindness in a strong city. As for me, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. The Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth him that dealeth proudly. Be strong, and let your heart take courage, all ye that hope in the Lord. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the experiences that thy saints have had since thou hast been dealing with men. We are thankful that thou hast recorded these in the psalm, and we have read one this night. Thou dost know why it's doubly precious to us, and so by thy Spirit, open this portion to us, give us a handful of purpose, and prepare our hearts to receive and to speak. Thou dost know what is necessary. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I promised to tell you why on these Lord's Day evenings I'm speaking briefly and devotionally, and there are two reasons. One of them I learned from an old experienced teacher. He's probably been here. You've heard him before. Old August Van Ryn. He was well into his 80s, and it was the afternoon, and they had been at the conference in the morning and had been preached to, and so he said, "Now you've come out this afternoon." He said, "You've just eaten a big dinner." He said, "You look sleepy." He said, "You had a good meal this morning." He said, "So don't expect anything from me." He said, "I'm just going to speak to you briefly and then sit down." And so I can appreciate that. You've been here a whole hour, and after people have heard a full-blown message, well, unless they're very strong, then they go to sleep. And this, what Brother Van Ryn said, if you think, is an echo of the same practice of the Lord Jesus. Does anybody happen to know what Mark 4:33 says? It says, "With many such parables spake he unto them, as they were able to hear it." And so the Lord knows as well. And in like manner, if I told you everything about this psalm, well, I do not think you would be able to hear it. And so I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it and present it to you devotionally and trust that God will bless you that way. This is the third portion that I brought to your attention that reminds us of Christ, but in every instance, it is transported and adapted to our Savior in the New Testament. It is never exactly as it is in its context, but it is adapted by the Spirit of God in the New Testament. I told you about Abraham and Isaac, the father and his only begotten son. We're told in Hebrews 11 that this is a type of Christ in resurrection. But notice, Abraham lifted the knife, but he did not plunge the knife. And yet God said, "I'm reckoning that as death and resurrection." I told you last week from Psalm 16, where the Lord Jesus says, in the words of Psalm 16, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." It meant something entirely different to David than it did to Christ. For David, it meant God is going to preserve his life in the land of the living. He is not going to be delivered unto death. And yet with the Lord Jesus Christ, he did die, do you see? Isaac did not die, but he's a type of Christ who did die. And in Psalm 16, David did not die, but Christ did die. And I try to emphasize verse 5 to bring to your attention something that you should remember that I spoke on this morning. "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." Do you remember this morning when the Lord Jesus, after he had cried with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now, because of that, I take this as a messianic psalm. I take it the same way that I take Psalm 22 as a messianic psalm, except we have that verified elsewhere from the psalm in the New Testament. But if I only had those words in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" and the Lord Jesus spoke them upon the cross, then I would have known, certainly, this is a messianic psalm. In a lesser sense, David uttered those words, but they were not true concerning David, because here is what I found, and it's a good message for you to take up. Twice David says in the Psalms, "I said in thy haste." Now one time he said in his haste, "All men are liars." Again he says, "I said in my haste, I am cut off." But then he says, "No, I wasn't cut off." And this way, David feels and thinks one thing, but it's not true, because David speaks hastily. The Lord Jesus never spoke one idle word. The Lord Jesus never thought something that was wrong. And so, again, the Lord Jesus goes a step beyond what the psalm means to David. And so I take Psalm 31 as a messianic psalm only because the words in verse 5 are like our Savior's words that he uttered upon the cross, his last utterance from the cross. But I have no verification elsewhere in the New Testament. But still, just keep in mind that the Lord, I have no doubt, had this in mind when he uttered those words upon the cross. But again, and this is the third time, and I could show you more instances, no doubt, if I went through the other Psalms, but keep this in mind. Every time we have an Old Testament type of Christ, or a Psalm that is used by Christ, first of all, it is historical and it is experiential of the party of the first part. It was Abraham and Isaac. It wasn't the father and the son in Genesis 22. It was Abraham and Isaac having that experience of offering up his only son, historically. But then typically, it was the father and his son. In like manner, it was David in Psalm 22 who cried and asked his God why he forsook him, historically and experientially. But this is messianic because the Lord Jesus takes these words and he utters them in a way that David never experienced. And in like manner, we come to Psalm 31 and David says, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." But David never commended his spirit into the Lord's hand the way the Lord did. Three times, and it's always the same. Here is Abraham offering Isaac, but he did not die. But God accounts it as having died and been brought back from the dead. David was not forsaken, but David was preserved. But the Lord Jesus was forsaken, and that forsaking came to an end. That's Psalm 22. In Psalm 31, David prays, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," for deliverance from death. But the Lord Jesus utters these words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," for preservation out of death. You see, each time with the Lord Jesus, he makes these Psalms his own, and instead of something like Abraham and Isaac and David experienced, it was something grander, because it takes all the Old Testament types and all the Old Testament experiences combined to give us a hint of the fullness and the greatness and the majesty of our Savior. And so every psalm of necessity must be looked at historically and experientially, first of all, in its context, for Abraham, for David, for Solomon, for the children of Israel. And next, it must be taken in its context as applied to Christ. And it's always larger, and it's always deeper, and it's always grander. And it's this way with Psalm 31. I just told you that because one man this morning that I was reading, he is an excellent man, but he had only read one messianic psalm, and he said this, "Why do you think that the Lord Jesus was commending his spirit to God in death, whereas in Psalm 31, it is David who is commending his spirit to God in life to preserve him from death? Can't you see the context?" Yes, that's why I've told you three times I've seen it. Had he read the other messianic psalms, there would have been no doubt. He could not say this about Psalm 16 because in Acts 2, Peter, interpreting that psalm, says, "David died and saw corruption, but the Lord Jesus, the promised Messiah, did not see corruption." He takes it a step farther. And he was saying because the psalm, historically and contextually and experientially, for David, did not go that far, then it can't go that far for the Lord Jesus. Had he simply read Psalm 16, he would have seen how the Spirit of God applies the psalm. But he teaches us two things. That we can go to these psalms, and this is what is so blessed, and grasp it. You may read the psalm without knowing anything about it being messianic. And you can pray to the Lord and say, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." And you can trust God to keep you alive in this world, to let you have a continued existence in the land of the living. But then, if God has taught you, then when you approach death, you can read this psalm again, and you can say, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit," and you can trust God to preserve you in the land of departed spirits. And so it's a double blessing. I thank God that I can pray this prayer while I'm alive for preservation, to remain alive. If not, I would stay away from the Psalms. I would say, oh dear, I can only go to them when I'm dying. But that's not it. I can go to them for preservation in life, or I can go to them for deliverance out of death. And that's what makes the Psalms doubly precious. They are applicable to us in life and applicable to us in death. They meant one thing to David. They meant one thing to the Lord Jesus. They mean one thing to you. And so look at the Psalms and get them first of all as they apply to David. And then look in the New Testament and see how they apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in life, use them as David did. And then, as you approach death, if the Lord Jesus has not come, then you will be able to say with assurance and with conviction, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Now, in verse 5, it has, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And in verse 15, it says, my times are in thy hand. Twice. First, my spirit is in thy hand. And in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Now, my spirit is a precious deposit that I place in the hands of God for safekeeping, to deliver me from someone like King Saul, who would chase us upon the mountainside and put us to death. Then I commit my spirit, this precious possession, into the hands of God for preservation. And this is what is happening here. Something of great value I commit into the hands of God. But at the same time, the vicissitudes of life, the uncertainties of life, my times are in thy hand. And so I can commit myself, and I can commit the circumstances of life into the hand of God. And then I can rest assured that all is well. For this reason, I want you to see this. It speaks about the hand of God so many times. But listen to what it says. Turn back to Psalm 20. Listen to this verse in Psalm 20. And look at verse 6. And David says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Listen to those words. The saving strength of God's right hand. And this is what David is praying to. He says, into thy hand, the saving strength of God's right hand. And does that not make you think of John chapter 10? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews knew what Christ was claiming. He was claiming deity, and they were going to stone him, because he, being a man, made himself God. Indeed, he did. He did not make himself God the Father, but he made himself God the Son, as he is. His hand, the saving strength of God's right hand. But now, this is what is so beautiful, that our Savior, the man Christ Jesus, when he said on the cross, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit, it shows us this, that the Lord Jesus did not sustain himself with his own deity. He did not say, I am God and I will do all this myself. I will keep myself at my own right hand. But as it says again and again in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. It says the power of God was upon him, with him to heal. The man Christ Jesus, whenever you find him in the scriptures, does nothing of himself. He does not draw upon his own deity, though he was fully God manifest in the flesh. It says God was with him. The Spirit empowered. This is the way it is. And when the Lord Jesus died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Being God, he could have preserved himself, but he commended himself into the hands of God, showing his true humanity. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and so forth. He partook of the same, in all things made like unto his brethren. Will you remember that? All things made like unto his brethren, sin apart, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And so, as you enter death, and you say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, the Lord Jesus entered death, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so, as the man Christ Jesus, he commended his spirit, because death is dissolution, the separation of the material from the immaterial part, and the Lord Jesus commended his spirit into the hands of the Father, the man Christ Jesus. But now, immediately, God points out his deity, because in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is stoned, Stephen says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, receive my spirit. Do you see his deity? He who as man commended his spirit into the Father's hands, now as God the Son in heaven is able to keep the spirits of all others who die on earth, and we are able to command our spirit into his hands, and we can say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Why? Because he said in John 10, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. And do you realize this? That this hand that is spoken of in Psalm 31 is the same hand in Revelation 1. John, the beloved disciple, saw the Lord Jesus in John in Revelation chapter 1. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet as one dead. And it says, the Lord Jesus laid his right hand upon him. And he said, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. And so we read about the saving strength of God's hand. The Lord Jesus is one with the Father. And it doesn't mean that you're in two hands when you're in the Son's hand and the Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. And so if the Father has saving strength in his right hand, so the Lord Jesus has saving strength in his. And the Lord Jesus is man, says, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And now men who die say to the Lord Jesus, alive forevermore, they say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And I am as comfortable entrusting my spirit to the hand of the Lord Jesus as I would be to the hand of God the Father had it been before the Lord Jesus died on the cross, raised from the dead. This is what God would have us to understand. All right, we are to trust the Lord Jesus. In these two verses, and this is the way I'm going to take them, it says in verse 5, into thy hands I commend my spirit, inasmuch as the Lord Jesus in death uttered these words, then I've learned, and I must come to be assured of this fact, that in death I can entrust my spirit to the hand of God. I can trust God in death. Have we become that strong? Well, the Lord Jesus had. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. But in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Can we trust God in life for the disposition of things that are to happen unto us? Are we willing to trust God? Or would we take circumstances and the disposition of our life out of the hand of God and seek to manipulate it ourselves? Quite often we would. We would tell God in our prayers exactly what is wisdom and exactly how he should direct our lives. But we cannot do that. If we tell God that, then we are saying, now I know more than you. You might want to do this, but this is what you should do. Then we are wiser than God. And if we trust in some other support other than the hand of God, then we found something that is stronger than God. But you think through it and you say, no, there is only one whom I can trust. I can only trust the Savior in life, and of necessity, I can only trust the Savior in death. And that is what God wants us to do, to be able to trust Him in life, not just be like those who go through life, and it says who, all their lifetime, were subject to bondage through fear of death. How terrible. But then at the end of their life, they say, well, there's nothing else that I can do, and so I'm going to try to trust the Lord Jesus, and I'll say, Lord Jesus, into thy hand I commend my spirit. But this is not the life of faith. Having been saved by faith, the just shall live by faith. And this is what God would want us to do, to trust Him in life and say, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. And when we've done all that we can in harmony with what is taught in the Word of God, then we just trust God. Paul says this. He said, now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And this is all that Paul could do for his beloved children when he was leaving them. And that's all we can do for others. And it's all that we can do for ourselves, to commit our times in God's hands. And we're better off in God's hands, whether for a blessing or for punishment. I must tell you this. When David numbered the people, I'm abbreviating this, Gad came to him and he said, all right, you've sinned against the Lord, and God has given you a choice. 7 years of famine, 3 months of fleeing before your enemies, or 3 days of plague. And this is what David said. He said, let us fall into the hand of God. Let us not fall into the hands of man. Let God do what He thinks is best. And so God said, I will send a plague for 3 days. You see, even if we have to be punished, it is better to leave it to God as to what is best for us. And so in chastisement, as well as in blessing and protection, David says, let me fall into the hand of God. Let me not fall into the hands of man. And what does it mean when it says, into thy hand I commend my spirit? This is what it says in the Hebrew. It's a word that is translated in so many ways, but in the offerings in Leviticus chapter 6, at times, if I have something of value, and let us say I'm going on a journey, and I did this when I went into the Navy, I had some things of value, and I delivered them for safekeeping to my neighbor. It says in Leviticus 6, when it comes to a matter of delivering to a man for keeping of your goods. In my 1901 it says, a matter of deliverance and so forth, a matter of safe keeping. When this happens, then you deliver these goods to your friend, and he is to keep them safely. Well, just as you would have something valuable, and you think of the best friend that you have that is responsible and would care for your earthly goods, this word is used also of the care of your most precious possession, your soul. And the Lord Jesus knew that it should be commended to God. And this is what Paul says. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul was persuaded of it, and you and I are to be persuaded of it. And so let us trust God in life, and let us trust God in death, and say with truth from our heart, my time and my spirit I commit to thy hands. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the experiences of these men of God from the Old Testament. We thought on this one a while tonight that David had. Lord, let us know that at times he vacillated, at times he waxed strong, at times weakness was manifest in his life. And yet all that you promised, you fulfilled. It says David strengthened himself in the Lord. And so let us learn to do that, our Father. Let us not be weaklings. Let not our hands hang down. Let not our knees be feeble. But strengthen us, Father, and then let us strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And let us understand that the only way to succeed in life is to commit our times into thy hands, Father. Dispose of them as thou wilt. And then when we die, if thy Son is not come, come, Lord Jesus. If he has not come, then our Father, let us say, Lord Jesus, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Help us in a greater way than David to have these experiences in the Psalms. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.